Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Marikita, on the edge here with me and my brains. We are about to have a great conversation. You know, a brain, she does something very beautiful. She works with relationships and the mindset mastery. I've seen her on LinkedIn. She is a queen on LinkedIn. She is really, really popular. People love her. We're going to talk a little bit about generational trauma. We're going to talk about, are you still doing work with inmates?
Oh, I still work for Canine Cellmates, yes.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about that too, because that's also a very, very beautiful job. So please introduce yourself to my brains and let them get to know you, Marikita.
Oh, I'm Marikita Solis. I'm a joyful relationship coach in Atlanta, Georgia. And I work with powerful women who are ready to get back into love, step into their essence by discovering how to better themselves and elevate their relationships.
Well, you know, a lot of people are having trauma in their relationships, especially after COVID, because they were isolated. Domestic violence was on the rage, alcoholism, drug addicts, because they weren't able to get to their support group, people that really understood where they are. So, you know, people need to kind of assess that, and they need to be honest with themselves. That's the first thing. How do you want to be treated as an individual is what I would say would be the starting place. It's not about how do I please my mate, because if I'm not satisfied, I can't do a good job satisfying you. Would you agree?
Definitely. Yes. Yes. And yeah, there has to be two strong partners, right? We can't be, I mean, we're two individuals, and each one has to have their own belief system and values and their own fun. They can't be dependent on the other partner to be providing everything, right? And so we come together as two circles, not overlapping, because that's mothering, but, you know, like this, and we stand tall in who we are. So you're absolutely right.
Right. And it's, you know, it's difficult to find yourself when you're submerged in another individual and you need to find that outside validation. Am I pretty enough? Am I thin enough? Do I have enough money? You know, how do I get him away from his wife?
Yes.
People are having those conversations in their head, and I don't think that that's well. But also on a man's side, you know, it's very difficult for men right now to develop relationships with women, you know, and I think a contributor to that was a part of the hit that they've taken with the Me Too movement. You know, maybe they were moving too fast. They were moving inappropriately. Their conversation was wrong. You know, how do people find that, you know, that synergy to even start a relationship?
Well, you have to really see what you want in life and see where you stand and what you were put here for, and kind of thinking, I mean, I would look at it as I was put here to help other people, and I want to find a partner that's on that same wavelength, and make a decision whether you really want that or not in your life. You know, are you stuck in this old story of I can't, there aren't any good enough men. I'm not going to attract love. Are you ready to let that go? So it has to be in that energy of questioning. Who is out there for me, right? And you accept that you're ready to move forward. Some people aren't ready. They want to stick with the old, I'll be alone forever story.
Right, and now the world of dating has changed so much to online. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 37 years. Girl, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I've never even been on an online dating site. I think I'm going to have to do an interview on that, because the questions that people ask now, they're sending you text pics of their junk, and they're being catfished. There's a lot of things different in relationships. You know, people have lost the art of flirting too, and communication, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and we're so direct now. You're right when you say we've lost the art of flirting. We just say, okay, I'm attracted to you. You want to go out? I think we make a great, and then there's no mystery.
Let's do it, and then, you know, that's it. Yeah. That's
right. Great. And what you're saying is so true. Let's do it. Like we're talking about within the first 5 dates and not even getting to know someone. And we wonder, so we're intimate too fast and we're pushing. And then we're a year down the road thinking, well, who is this person I'm with? You know, because we didn't get to know who they were first, the values, the foundation. You know, are we going to be someone that's on the same journey, right? What are your values? And, you know, what are mine? So, yeah.
And everybody comes with baggage. Now, you're a woman of a particular age. I'm a woman of a particular age. There's no way that we could go back in the dating arena and find someone that hasn't had some bad credit or had some alcohol or have some kids or an ex-wife. You know, and so people have to understand what they are willing to edit and filter. What are they willing to accept from an individual? And really, what is it that they need to accept about us? Because we all have baggage, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I think the really key thing is, has the person healed from the baggage, or are they just carrying it along and staying in the victim state where that's the story they tell, and they don't tell a greater story of how they've used that hurt, you know, maybe that alcohol addiction that they had. And now they are championing other people, you know, to move forward in life, and they're mentors. So that's very important to know that they have healed. And if they're going to, that means that, yes, there's a good chance they're going to be a good partner, unless, you know, if they're just saying that alcohol is part of my family and that's the way it is, then that's a red flag.
Yeah. And with that, you know, if they're willing to heal, but also exposing that, you know, you got to be careful when you're meeting someone new, what you expose right away. You know, you don't want to say, hi, you know, I'm April Mahoney and I'm, you know, 500 pounds overweight. You know, you don't want to show up with your representative. You want to show up authentic. But again, sometimes it's a turnoff when you're trying to build a relationship and you've got all this baggage from your ex-relationship or things you haven't worked through. It can be a turnoff, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I've done that. I've been on dates where I just spilled my whole life story, you know, the problems with the family, the problems with me. And boy, was that there was no second date. And first of all, I mean, you don't want to tell everybody everything. Right. You want to have the mystery, which is back to the flirting. You know, there's no mystery, no flirting when you just spill everything out. And that's going to, there's nothing attractive about knowing everything about someone. And I was desperate to be like, okay, let me tell you everything. So you're going to know that I'm this amazing person. So that was coming from shame and not believing in myself, feeling that I had to be clingy, you know?
Right. Right. I get it. Tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did you find this niche?
Oh, well, I struggled in relationships for 40 years, hating myself.
40 years? You ain't struggled no 40 years. Really?
Okay. Well, I guess I didn't start so when I started dating at 15, okay? So until 40, from 15 to 40, right? 40 something, you know, I struggled. Yeah, I'm setting myself up because I never valued myself, and I always was in this desperate mindset. And going out with men that when there was cheating, I just forgave, because forgiving is such a beautiful thing, right? So I would forgive, and then we'd go back, and I was caught in this loop, you know, they would cheat and I would forgive, the same old thing. This was this toxic pattern that went on because I didn't value myself. I had been put down a lot as a child. I had loving people in my family, but then I also had people that put me down and I didn't know where. I mean, that's really hard for a child, not knowing where you stand and trying to overcome that. And I took that into my relationships, that not feeling worthy and wanting to find a man to make me feel worthy and doing everything I could to prove myself, which is overgiving, being intimate too soon. Because of my history, because I hadn't healed.
Well, let's talk about the healing too. Let's go back to that. Generational trauma. Did you see experiences with other women in your life? You know, people look to their parents those are their very first role models. How did my father treat my mother? How did my mother receive that? What was the expectations in the household? What is it as a daughter that my mother is saying or not saying to me? Was I forced in this marriage to marry up? Was I forced to be with this woman because she had a baby? You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that has been triggered. So talk to us a little bit about the mindset, about changing that mindset and that generational trauma, because it's real.
Yeah, it is real. And I used to watch my grandmother be really verbally abused by my grandfather. And I saw that all the time. That was the norm for me. And she was living in fear of him. He was very powerful. So basically, we all lived in fear. He wasn't my blood grandfather, my godfather. But yeah, so I learned that basically not to have a voice, despite the fact that she told me I could do anything. It was her actions that I learned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing that I always had to, I mean, she was always struggling just to keep him happy so there would be peace in the household. So it wasn't until I really saw myself, looked inside myself and saw that little girl that was hurting and acknowledged that I had, instead of looking at myself as a bad girl, you know, and making like a shame-based meaning of things that happened in my life, I was able to give empathy to that shame as, and not knowing as a child, I felt like I needed to really step up and try to stop all this pain that was going on in my family. So I just took that on into the relationships, you know, finding men that had issues or men that weren't loving. I mean, and then trying to be the healer like I was as a child, always smiling and laughing, which is normal for me. Now I smile and laugh, not because I feel like I gotta heal someone or there's a problem, but just because I'm a happy person, right? So there's a difference.
Happy person, you got a beautiful smile. So tell us a little bit about the work that you do with your clients.
So right now, I work with women one-on-one in intensive 3-month coaching, working on these hidden blocks, which are shame, isolation, and a disconnection from a purpose greater than themselves, right? When we're thinking that we're just here for ourselves and there's not a bigger potential, we really disconnect from everything that life is here for. You know, the universe is behind us. She's wanting to help us. But when we disconnect from her and we make it all about ourselves, we cut other people off. We cut off our resources. We cut off our learning. And so that's a big one. So that's one thing that we work on. And the shame is the story that we tell about ourselves. Where did that come from? You know, as children, like for me, that I wasn't worthy, that I had to make everyone happy, that I was a bad person. So working on that and then connecting, you know, to the higher power, whatever it may be, nature, God, I don't know what it is, but there's something greater than us. You know, there's something greater than me that's keeping my heart beating, that's keeping my lungs going. So connecting to that, and then we're able to get into a feminine energy power center, which is about discovery. And it's about questioning and saying, I wonder. So let's say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, I've got to find out how I'm going to pay my bills and really being very strategic. It's about really wondering and being in the curiosity and letting go and not being so tight about everything, opening up. Because when we open up and we have these resources of other people and the higher power and we stepped away from shame, then all these things can develop in our lives and we can have unlimited potential.
And that's called dreaming and manifestation.
Yes.
You know?
You're right.
Sure. And it's a conversation that you have in your head. You know, it. I tell people all the time, I love talking to me.
That's true. You're right. Because, you know, like one of my teachers used to say, overthinking is not a bad thing as long as we're thinking about the right thing. As long as April's saying how great she is and how she's manifesting this, you know, this wonderful trip that's coming up, then that's great. You know, keep manifesting, keep playing that script. So, and it's going to happen.
But also give yourself time to feel your feelings.
Oh, definitely.
And go through the process. You don't have to hurry through that. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And so we need to take our time. We need to breathe. We need to settle in. We need to cry sometime. We need to have conversations, honest conversations. You know, I got a situation brewing right now, and I really don't know how to approach it. And I know that's odd for me because I don't want to come off aggressive, but I want people to know that I'm serious about what I'm saying. And I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. But sometimes when you give people a gentle approach, they don't get it. Marquita, they don't get it. They, you know, you got to come to them with an iron fist, and then all of a sudden they're shocked, and they feel that you are, you know, rude. But in actuality, you're standing up for yourself. And you got to teach people how to treat you. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, that's very true. I mean, they're treating you the way you allow them to treat you, right? You're exactly right with that. You've got to stand up for yourself. And you can see if this way doesn't work, then take it another step. Like you said, you know, now I've got to say it with more force and be more direct, right? Because ultimately you have to take care of yourself and acknowledge your feelings, like you said, because those feelings are going to come out, whether they come out in sickness, you know, they're coming out. So we're let them out so they don't poison you. So they're not stuck inside.
Do you work with gay couples as well as heterosexual couples?
Yes, definitely. I work with them. Yes, I do. I work with anybody who wants to be healed.
Well, but you know what? And I say this as a heterosexual person. It's different. I couldn't, me personally, imagine being in a relationship with another female only because of the estrogen and the hormones and the emotion and the tenderness. It's a mere reflection. I can't say what that relationship might be, but I could just, you know, from outside looking in, and two men, very testosterone driven, very aggressive, you know, so it's a different conversation with working with these types of couples versus what we consider, you know, the traditional lifestyle or even the transgender population, because those individuals are trying to also be accepted in their new role. They're, you know, as the person that they are, that they're the person that they're allowed to be. So that's a pretty heavy conversation when it comes to healing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it can be, definitely. And I have worked with some lesbian couples. Usually I work with one. I mean, one's coming to me and being able to empower her to be able to step up. I mean, it's empowering both parties, and then we're coming together because there's both parties and then there's the relationship. So Letting go of everything is important about, I mean, I've got to do everything right for me and say, let's work on doing things right for the relationship. It's not about me anymore, but what's good for the relationship, you know? And when both parties are standing tall and have healed from this, then it works, you know, no matter if you're heterosexual, homosexual, you know, it's about loving yourself ultimately and stepping into that power center.
Right. Okay. What about the outside noise, outside influences that always impact us individually or our relationship? You got the mother-in-law, you got the sister-in-law, you got the stepkids, all of that kind of thing. How do you work with your clients, you know, and give them tools to really make sure that their relationship is solid and reduce the chatter from outside? Because that can be a big impactor.
Yeah, it can. So it's really important that both people are working together and realizing and having these powerful conversations, having these conversations every week to see where they need checking in. Because what's happening is we're going, you know, everything's all peachy in the beginning. We get married and we don't have conversations to see, where do we stand? Am I getting my needs met? Are you getting your needs met? What about the relationship, right? And how can we deal with it as a team? So let's say we have a mother-in-law issue. So talking it out with your partner, what's going to be the best for the relationship? And maybe it's that you need to see your mother by yourself. Okay, we're going to work together to do that. And knowing that I don't have to be in a place, and then I shouldn't be in a place where I feel uncomfortable, and I shouldn't put my partner in a place where he feels uncomfortable or she feels uncomfortable. Being respectful is key here, and having these mature conversations instead of a lot of times when I hear, well, you know, my mother-in-law is this or that. It's not about that. It's like, looking at things with empathy. So maybe your mother-in-law, she's hurting. So let's look at it from an empathetic spot. That doesn't mean what she did was okay. And it doesn't mean we have to be with her all the time, but let's look at it from a different viewpoint and see what can be, you know, what can
and
develop.
And also here. Your partner has to be willing to stand up to mother too. Because
definitely,
if I'm your partner, I want you to stand up for me, and I don't want you to be rude to your mother, but I want you to say, look, mama, you know, back off, April, because what you're doing is unfair. And if you don't do that, because some people are marshmallows, some people won't stand up to their parent out of honor and respect. But at some point, you know, you've got to wean yourself. You got to, you know, be able to stand on your own two feet. So how did you get to this point? I know that you've done a lot of training. You know, tell us some of the great training that you've been through, like NLP, or using hypnotherapy. What are you using to work with your clients to give them tools to get their relationships in order?
So I studied with Dr. Michael Shemeka, who's a life coach here in Atlanta for many years. And I've been studying with Claire Zammit, who's she has a PhD in transformative learning and change, mm-hmm. about feminine power, moving into those power centers, which is amazing. You know, it's like such, I mean, the healing is incredible. And I don't even know what to say about it, but this is not something at a surface level. This is deep healing that is going to require courage. You know, like you're saying, you know, that the courage to stand up to your mother-in-law, the courage to accept when you're going on a date that this might not be the one for you. You got to find out, is this person that I'm going on a date with and I want to marry, is he going to be able to stand up for me? Like you're saying, you know, is he going to be able to really be my teammate? And that's what you want to do before you jump into any marriage or anything. You got to know these people better, like you're saying, but, or you're going to end up with someone that can't stand up. For you, right. Or doesn't want to.
And again, when you first meet somebody, they're sending their representative because they want to be the perfect person. You know, you got the perfect outfit on, your hair is looking good, your eyelashes are looking good, you're smelling good, his shoes are shined, you know, he picks up the check, all of that. And then further down the line, you start seeing who this person really is. But again, it's, you know, it's like an onion. You've got to peel back the layers. So this is not the only amazing work that you do. I want to talk about the work that you have done with dogs and inmates. I think that is incredible. I've watched it on television, on documentaries so many times, that how these animals have worked with inmates and really turned their life around, that have showed them empathy, that have showed them compassion, that have showed them discipline. Tell me a little bit about your work. It's beautiful.
So I work with canine cellmates, and we work with the men, that incarcerated men. Now these men have to really show and prove themselves as men that really want to step up to this of training of dogs. They work with dogs. And so it's a win-win for the men and the dogs. It helps the dogs. It gives them the skills to become more adoptable. These dogs are saved from shelters. And the men builds up their confidence and builds that connection a lot of times that they don't have. And that self-esteem is so important when you're incarcerated and lonely and feeling bad about yourself. So it's a wonderful program. And I've been working with one-on-one with some men, and just seeing how they have pushed through and they're so proud of themselves. I mean, these are guys that could have let their past hold them back, and now they're just, you can't stop them. It's amazing. And I'm so proud to to be a part of this. And I really think volunteering is one of the best things you can do. I mean, it connects you to society and it lifts you up and it lifts other people up. So I recommend that to anyone.
Are you able to weave in and out a little bit of your relationship training and your conversations with them? Because they come from a lot of trauma, a lot of broken relationships, and eventually we hope that a lot of these inmates will be re-entered into society. But I know that working with the dogs is teaching them tenderness and kindness, and you know, they love these animals. Are you able to weave in the conversation a little nugget of relationship love?
Yes, I do. I do weave that in, definitely. You know, it's that's not like one of the main topics, but I do get it in and just try to say, let's make sure that we know. I mean, what do you want? Everyone needs to know what they want before they go on a date. Get your values. You know, do you want an honorable partner? Or do you want someone with blue eyes that doesn't have honor, right? So right, get right. it down.
Right. And be authentic about it. So let's play a couple rounds of just some random questions. I'm going to throw out a word. And then you tell me the first word that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
Love.
Well, the first word was joy.
Okay. Friendship.
Bond.
You said bond?
Uh-huh.
The color blue.
Sky.
Your why.
My why?
Your why.
Helping others. Well, that's two words, but.
That's all right. I should say the first thing that comes to your mind. That's
okay.
Good. So helping others. Pain.
Mm-hmm. Hurt.
Laughter.
Joyful emotion.
If you were a flower, what flower would you be?
A daisy.
Why?
Because they're very bright and lively.
Oh. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is pink.
Why?
Well, I think it's kind of flirty. Very, it has a lot of life.
It looks like your cheeks are pretty in pink. And what would you tell a 25-year-old self?
I would say honor yourself and know what you want out of life, you know, and don't ever let anything stop you. And don't ever let anyone stop you with their words and beliefs. That you know yourself, and if you're feeling hurt, acknowledge it. Find some help, because I wish I had known that.
Absolutely. So tell my brains a little bit about your current offering, program, and how to get in contact with you.
Well, like I said, I have the one-on-one coaching, and that's intensive. I'm on Facebook, Joyful Relationship Coaching. I have a ladies group, which is Joy and Fulfillment, Create the Relationship You Deserve. And I'm on LinkedIn, Mariquita Solis. And I would love to offer a free discovery session if you're confused about where you stand in your relationship, or you're confused about where to even begin a relationship. You know, reach out to me for a free Zoom call and we can just get some clarity. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything heavy. It's just about lightening up these intense, sometimes feelings that get you weighed down and make you feel like you're never going to find love or you're never going to be happy in your relationship. So let's just lighten that load. But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else really. I'm on Instagram also too. So if you want to find me there.
Well, we're definitely going to put all your contact information at the end of the interview and at the bottom, and we're going to run this all over the world because this woman is full of joy. She believes in a bond. She believes in blue skies. She wants to help others relieve their hurt, continue with the joy like a daisy in pink.
Beautiful.
Thank you. And you are beautiful and you're a beautiful soul. And I really thank you for, you know, turning your pain into your passion, working with other individuals, women, as well as the inmates and the animals. You know, you're kind of all over the place. And you're looking at people at their core level. You're looking at them from an intimate part. You want to build that emotional intelligence and raise their relationship capital. And I thank you so much, and I honor you for being here with me on The Edge.
Thank you so much, April.
Yeah. So, Brains, I need you to go in and subscribe right away to LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. Share this and have a conversation with Mariquita. Okay, absolutely. I don't know. It don't cost you nothing. Okay, and it could turn your life completely around, and you would be surprised. You might be our next guest interview saying how wonderful this is, because I'm sure it is a wonderful experience. And she seems so nice and delicate. It's not like typical talk therapy where you're being talked to or you're being therapized. This is an interactive conversation where you'll be able to go back and forth and really engage. And I think that that's what we need right now is that intimacy.
Amen.
All right. I will talk to you again very, very soon. I'm watching.
Thank you.
You're doing some great work in the world.
Thank you.